Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. In every family, in every church, there is always a clique. A group of people that always want to be in the know. Now, don't look at your neighbor. They may think that you're talking about them. Look this way. I don't want you to get in trouble. This clique of people who always want to be in the know. They always want to be the first to know what happened. They are generally the people that will go back and say, did you hear? Did you see? I can't believe she wore that. And if you're not careful with that type of person, they will get you messed up. Because they'll have you focusing on things that really doesn't matter. Do you know that God really isn't concerned about what you wear? Do you know that God really isn't concerned when you look good on the outside, but your heart is jacked up? God says, I'm a God that is after your heart, and I want you to be after my heart. The heart of God is the will of God. And so when God says to you that he wants you to be after his heart, he wants you to be after his kingdom coming. The kingdom of God is the will of God. God, what do you want from me? People will sometimes distract you because they will begin to fill your ear with foolishness. And so these people that always want to be in the clique, the truth of the matter is they're just nosy. Do you have some haters in your life? You got a new car, a new house, a new job, a new business, new friends, and then they begin to hate on you. But you thought you were friends until God began to bless you. So whenever somebody comes after you, you have to know the only reason they're coming after you is because they're jealous of your stuff. But they don't know what you have to go through to keep your stuff. They don't know the hell and high water that you must endure to keep stuff going. So never look at somebody and look at their stuff and you want their stuff. The Bible call it covet. It's when you look at somebody else's stuff and you want it. You see, you don't have to want what the next person have, because if you're serving the same God, if I'm in the same place, I told you, if I'm in the same room with you, when God begins to pour his blessings upon you, I need to know I'm next in line. I need to sit closer to you, not to hate on you. Because if God is doing it for you, he'll do the same for me. God has no respecter person. So if he does it for one person, he'll do it for someone else. And so we begin to go through life, and sometimes we feel like we have to be in the clique. We have to know everything that is going on. And the truth of the matter is, there are some things that happen in life I just don't want to know. I don't want to know who's sleeping with who. I don't want to know who cursed at who. I don't want to know who shot John. I don't want to know why they shot him. I need to know, how is my relationship with God? That's what's important to me. And so God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. He says, I'll take else. I'll add everything else unto thee. But we get distracted because we begin to chase after stuff and we miss the movement of God. And it's nothing like church folks to send you down the wrong path. If you want hell in your life, come to church. Somebody once said, there's no hurt like church hurt. See, the world can talk about you and they can do one thing, but that just roll off you. But when church folk do it, my expectation was greater because you've been praising the Lord and you've been talking about how wonderful He is and you stabbing me in the back at the same time. I just don't understand how some church folk can do what they do in the name of Jesus. But every clique, every segment of society will have its issues. The disciples had been walking with Jesus, watching, witnessing His miracles. And then one night they came and they grabbed Jesus and they led Him to the cross. And when they begin to lead Jesus to the cross, the disciples begin to peel off one by one. Judas went over a cliff, put a rope around his neck, and jumped and committed suicide. Peter stood in the court and denied that he even knew the man, and if that's not enough, he even cursed at the young lady who said that you did know him. One by one by one, the disciples begin to peel off, even though they walked with Jesus and knew who He was. And so there they were, supposed to have been the top in the church, and they were gone. And so here it is, they're all gone, and Jesus then goes to the cross. He died on the cross, and 3 days later, He rises again. And when Jesus rose 3 days later, they remember what He had said. And that is, I'm going to go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. In other words, what Jesus was saying is when I ascend to heaven, the Holy Spirit will descend and the Holy Spirit will go inside of everyone that is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to come inside. We get freaky in church when we start talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, because we don't know them people. You can preach Jesus and you can preach God, but when you start talking about the Holy Ghost, you lose people, because I don't want to be that sanctified. Baby, I want everything that I can get every step of the way. I need to know that God is in me and He's dwelling in me and I'm abiding in Him and He abiding in me. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The limitation that Jesus has on earth is that Jesus can only be one place at one time. And so when He died, He ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. Now the Holy Spirit can be in California as well as Hawaii, as well as Georgia, as well as on this side and that side, all at the same time. I'm glad Jesus died for me. I'm glad He looked down and saw an old wretch like me, and He died so that I can have life and life more abundantly. And so the disciples begin to come back together. And as they begin to assemble together, they begin to remember what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is that I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He says, I'm going to show up in your life. Yes. And so what they did was they had a first fruit offering. Mm-hmm. Told you I was going to bring something back to you. They had a first fruit offering. And then 50 days after the first fruit was the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost means 50. So it happened 50 days after the first fruit. Back in January, you were given the opportunity to sow a first fruit. You remember that? I told you I was going to take you back 50 days. In the month of January, you were given an opportunity to sow a first fruit. So from the first Sunday of the month of February until today, you're not going to believe it, it's 50 days. It's exactly speak in your tongue. Because if you sow the first fruit, we sowed it and forgot about it. But God says, I'm going to bring it back to your remembrance. You sowed a seed, but you didn't expect the harvest. You got to expect God to do what you told God to do when you sowed the seed. That's why I'm always telling you, when you sow a seed, you got to name it something. You got to name it money. You got to name it love. You got to name it a relationship. Don't just put something in the offering. Tell God what to give you back. Whatever seed you sow, you reap what you sow. And so God is saying, bring it to me, but name the seed. That's why he told Adam. He says, everything, give it a name. What you call it, that's its nature. What you call it, that's how it's going to act. What you call it, that's what it's going to become. And see, quite often what we do in the body of Christ is that we bring our little tenth back, but we don't call it anything. Therefore, the seed grows up, but it doesn't know what to become because you didn't name it. I'm helping somebody. I'm helping somebody. What you need, sow it and name it. And if you sow a seed in good ground, you gotta see a harvest. It has to come up. And if you believe that the body of Christ is good ground, you gotta see what you sow. In the world, it says, oh, you're going to reap what you sow. If you did this, oh, it's going to come back around. Well, if that seed come back around, why surely goodness and mercy won't come back around? Why living in an overflow won't come around? Why living in abundance won't come around? Why healing won't come around? Why blessing won't come around? Why relationships won't come around? You got to begin to expect God to do what God said he would do. And the Bible declares, then the day of Pentecost was fully come. 50 days after the feast of the first fruit. 50 days later, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And what the sound from heaven represents is the exhortation of God. Now, exhortation is when God is calling you and God is urging you to go do what he told you to do. And so when you begin to go, what you simply do is on your journey, you tell God what God told you. Have you ever been up all night praying about something and God whispered in your ear? And when everybody else walked out on you, you stood on that word because you know that God said he'll never leave you, never forsake you. I don't care who walked out. God says, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to stand on his word. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I know your situation may look bad, but don't look at your situation. Look at the God who sit high and look low. You got to look at the God who knows your ups and your downs, your ins and outs. You got to look at the God who has all powers in his hand. You got to look at the God who's able to do all things but fail. Don't take your eyes off the God that you serve. Now watch this. It says that they were on one accord in one place. That's expectation. In other words, they say birds of a feather flock together. When you come to the house of the Lord, what you have to know is that in coming to the house of the Lord, I want to sit next to somebody who don't mind me talking crazy sometimes. I need to sit next to somebody who don't mind if I begin to speak in tongues. You just sit there. I'm not going to bite you. But see, tongue is your prayer language. When you begin to speak in tongues, I ain't talking so you can hear. I'm trying to talk to God. I'm trying to do utterance unto him. So your prayer language is speaking in tongues. And so that's why on that day, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they began to speak in unknown tongues. In other words, they weren't talking to one another. Amen. Ring, your girlfriend call. Tell me what's going on. And then you hang up the cell phone and they call somebody else and tell somebody else. You want to trick that devil, begin to speak in tongue when that devil don't know what you're talking about. You got to begin to pray in tongue. You got to begin to sing in tongue. You got to begin to use your prayer language. And what your prayer language says is, when I go in prayer speaking in tongue, I'm talking directly to God. I don't need you to hear my business. And if you want to pray for me, pray for me, but you don't need to know my stuff. Everybody that knows your stuff ain't praying for you. That's the folks that know your stuff so they can tell somebody else. You wonder how your business is in the street? It's because because you told somebody and they said, oh girl, just tell me what so I can go pray. Yeah, they were praying for you. They were praying that you would fail. They were praying that God won't bless you, because people like to keep other folk down. You know what? If you really know who you are in Christ, we need to try to pull people up. We can't be afraid of one another. You don't take away from me because you get your blessing. God can bless you and bless me and give me all of mine and give you all of yours, all at the same time. But sometimes we like little crabs in a bucket. We just pulling folk, trying to keep folk down. Well, I can't pay for mine, so I'm gonna talk about you. You can talk about me as much as you please. As a matter of fact, the more you talk, I'm gonna hit my knees. So keep on talking, but you keep on talking. In a position to get blessed. Have you ever tried God and you found yourself in a place where you really had to trust God, when you were going through something and everybody walked out on you, but God says, I stick closer to you than a brother? Have you ever tried God? You were going through something in the midnight hour, you've been crying all night, and God cuts you early in the morning and say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. You gotta know it's morning time for some of your blessings. You gotta know you've been seeing it. You gotta know you've been asking God long enough. God is saying it's morning time. It's time for me to rise up in you. It's time for me to wake up the blessing in you. Now what you've been asking God for, God is saying, baby, it's right here. You just gotta reach out and get it. You gotta know that the God that you serve, he says, if you just reach out and get it, I'm right here in everything that you want. God is saying, baby, just reach for it. Just reach a little higher. Reach beyond your haters. Reach behind them who lying on you. Those that stab you in the back, you gotta keep reaching, because I'm standing right there. And you gotta know, baby, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And so in the midst of going through something, what the disciples found out is that God now has took his son Jesus. And so Jesus is dead, ascended to heaven, but the Holy Spirit has descended. And so now that the Holy Spirit is descending, they're all sitting around, but they're on one accord. It's something about being on one accord. That is when brothers and sisters come together in unity. Ain't nothing like unity. Because in unity, the Bible declares that where I'm weak, you're strong. You cover me. Yeah, I can't do that, but thank God I'm sitting to somebody who can do it. I may not be able to spell that word, but I'm sitting next to somebody who can spell it and won't even tell anybody that they spelled it for me. See, that's what love does. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers when you're weak. And so I love the fact that God loves us. And so because he loves us, he says, I love you so much, I want to talk to you. I don't need you to talk to nobody else all the time. Sometimes I just want to talk to you. But God, I don't know what to say. He said, good, I like it when you don't know what to say. So you don't mind if I give you just a little language where me and you can communicate. Where you can say, oh, Cinderella, custom, beloved. And God knows exactly what you mean. You may not know, devil, what I'm talking about, but God says, I know exactly what it is. And until the day comes when you're speaking in tongues, don't you know that every time you say, God, God says, I got that thing, baby. I got that. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you on that. And you find yourself, you're going through something, and you don't know what to do. And so sometimes all you can do is cry. And God says, I feel that one too. You know everything that you experience on this earth. God knows exactly how it feels. That's why he sent Jesus Christ down on this earth. And that's why Jesus says, I think it not robbery to be equal with God. But what he still did was died on the old rugged cross. He died so that you and I can have life. And not only just to have life, but he says, I came so you can have life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just getting by. Tired of the paycheck to paycheck. Tired of the friend to friend. I want some abundant living. I want some overflow. I want more than enough. I want God to step in my life where I'm so blessed that I can be a blessing to somebody else. I want God to do a new thing in me. I want God to use me, baby. Use me. I'm just a vessel. Pour out in me so I can give it to somebody else. Now the Holy Spirit dwelled upon them. And the Bible declares that the Holy Spirit just sat upon them. I love that. I was reading that thing yesterday, and it always messed me up. Now you gotta watch this. is that the Holy Spirit sat on them. In other words, when God gives you power, He doesn't take it away. In other words, what He says, when the Holy Spirit came, He says, what the Holy Spirit did was just sit down in your life and say, I ain't going nowhere. We may go through hell together, but I ain't going nowhere. You may feel like you're going down, but I ain't going nowhere. The bills may come, but I ain't going nowhere. They may lie on you, but I ain't going nowhere. He says, I am sitting in your life. And what I've done is that I connected with you, and I invite you to connect with me. If you abide in Him and let Him abide in you, God will work miracles out in your life. Do you know Him to be a miracle working God? Has He ever worked out a miracle in your life? Has He ever opened a door for you? You ought to give Him some praise this morning. You ought to praise Him this morning like He's going to do something. You ought to praise God this morning like God is working some stuff out. If you don't mind this morning, let's live by 1 minute praise break. And come on and praise Him this morning. Come on and praise Him this morning. Let's just praise Him this morning. Like He's already done it. You gotta praise Him. Come on and give Him some praise. And God is saying, now today is your harvest day. And so because you sowed a seed, He says, today is Pentecost in your life. It's 50 days. I was blown away where from the first Sunday in February to today is exactly 50 days. And I said, God, I know what the 50 is for, because I was struggling when I began the thing. And says, Pentecost means 50. 50 what? What you want me to do with 50? And then yesterday it came to me that what I want you to do with 50 is remind the people that this is their Pentecost. And the mighty rushing wind just moved in here. You better ask God to do what God is supposed to do. You better tell God, when I sow the first fruit, now my harvest is here. You better begin to expect God to do what you expected God to do. But how can I instruct God to do something? Simple, because when you pray what God told you to pray. And so you said back to God what God said to you. And now, in a sense, God finds Himself in a place where He says, now they kind of got me right there. Because I sure said that. I told Him I healed Him. I told Him I'd give Him a new business. I told Him I'd restore the relationship. I told Him I'd do that. And then not only did you listen to what God says, you put a seed in the ground. Yes. Baby, you can expect God to do that thing. You walked away and said, well, that's just it. No, I want to remind you what you did 50 days ago. And 50 days ago, you sowed a seed. Now, today is your harvest. Somebody better look for their harvest today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. See, I've been praying long enough, asking God long enough. No, baby, God, I trust you, but I want my stuff right now. I want it right now. And God is saying, you have not because you ask not. I'm asking for mine today, not, Lord, whenever you want to. No, not whenever. I'm talking about on this Sunday at 11:25, I want you to open the door. On this Sunday, I want you to release something. On this Sunday, I want you to bind something. On this Sunday, I want you to move in my life. Whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. seed. And because I sow the seed, I can expect a harvest. I can expect a harvest. God knows what you need. And whatever you need, match it with a seed. You took your first fruit, your first, and you returned that in addition to your tithes and offering back into the Lord. Maybe that seed is in the ground and that seed has made connection. The good thing about sowing a seed is that you can never plant one seed and get one harvest. God will always multiply your seed. He'll always multiply your seed. I want you to stand this morning in the presence of the Lord. I want your mind to go back 50 days to that seed that you sowed. And even if you didn't have a seed to sow, but God knows you had the mind and the heart to sow, I want you to reflect back on what it is that you were asking God for. Because you forgot about it. And God says, but I'm going to bring it back to your remembrance. Today is Pentecost. Today is 50 days after you've sown your seed. And the atmosphere is set for you to get back what you sowed, plus some. I don't care what it is you're facing, it's not too hard for God. I don't care what it is you're going through, it's not impossible with God. God is saying, get that need on your mind. Get that need on your mind and expect me to do it. Expect God to do it. You got to believe that God can do it. You got to believe that it's already done. Whatever God is doing in this season, because you position yourself, He won't do it without you. He knows you. He knows your situation. And in spite of you, He says, I'll give grace to cover even where your sin is. But I know you. Before I put you in the belly of your mom, I knew you. I knew what you was going to do. I knew your sins and I knew your righteousness. And I extended grace to even cover your little sin. He says, nothing will separate me from the love of my people. Nothing will separate me from the love of my people. I love them so much, I gave them my only begotten son. Nothing will separate you from God. I want to talk to that person here this morning that perhaps don't know Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here today and you have no church home, we want to extend an invitation to you. And it's a simple invitation. The invitation is that if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, take one step of faith and He says salvation is yours. How much does it cost you? Absolutely nothing. Jesus paid it all on the cross. When He stretched forth on the old rugged cross, He was paying it for you. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation, with everyone this morning, no church home. Place something inside of you called a talent called a gift, and he wants it back. And you give him that gift, you give him that talent through working in the church. Would that be a done this morning? If you die right now, do you know where you go? Maybe. No, 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 not maybe. Do you know where you're going? And if you're not absolutely certain where you're going when you leave this place, now is the time. While the blood is running warm in your veins, now is the time. God wants to stretch you. He wants to enlarge your territory. But you have to belong to him so he can enlarge your territory. He wants to enlarge your territory. A new account, a new business, a new house, a new car. He wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to push you. He wants you to live in a life of abundance. Don't let your mind put the limitation.